Pain is something that comes and goes. Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The man is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a... My brother.
On dealing with pain. Pain is something that a lot of people deal with in a variety of different ways, and it's one of those things that people take further than they need to. A lot of people like to eat when they in pain. Some stress, and some overly think when they pain. But really, when I'm in pain, I go to the Bible. I find joy in songs or a random Bible scripture to take me away from pain. Today is my first time on Blog Talk Radio. I'm just getting used to how to work the program. Now, pain is something that comes and goes, but you just have to maintain it. So if you ever have any questions, you can go to the website and type in if you have any questions, or you can key in if you want to speak. Okay. I'm gonna take a quick 2 minutes, and I'm going to come right back, and we're going to be speaking on pain. Back speaking on pain. Got my cousin Nakia Smith on the line as well. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, fellow bloggers. I'm Nakia Smith. And yes, cuz, talking about pain and the effects and how God wants us to handle our pain and how He's going to take us through our pain, and we're going to discuss, going to elaborate on that a little bit more later on in this conversation. But thought about the topic of pain, because that's something people go through every day. Just because you see a smiling face doesn't mean pain doesn't exist into the person. You know, you see a lot of people smile, you know, everybody have these fronts they put up, and I know I got mine, I can't speak on nobody else, but, you know, smiling through the pain is sometimes the hardest thing you can do, but sometimes smiling is the only thing you can do. Yeah. Smile and just wait on God's unchanging hand.
Because pain can eat you up if you let it. That's the thing. You can't let it eat you up. You have to learn, because everybody knows what stresses them. Everybody knows what causes pain to them. It's all about knowing how to avoid that and knowing how to deal with pain. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, yes, I agree.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Smith. You ready?
All right. Yes, I'm ready.
What do you think is the hardest type of pain to really deal with? What's the type of pain that you find like it's hard to deal with?
Well, for me, physical pain used to be, but there's nothing like, I'm going to say, emotional and spiritual pain. Those are the two words to me, because you're dealing with your feelings. You know, sometimes I have felt, you know, we cry out to God and we're crying and crying out, but when God's already has told us that He got this, but you know, we got to give it of ourselves in this equation, because sometimes we don't trust God enough and we start trying to heal our own pain, and it's hard to heal pain when you're not the doctor. You know, when the doctor tells you, okay, now, you know, you're about to get diabetes, you can't be eating the sweets, and we wave our hand, and now he done told us. know he's been studying many years of school, and he has seen many, many cases. But same in the same aspect as the doctor tell us don't do it, and we hard-headed, same thing. You know, sometimes we can be hard-headed to God and inflict our own pain. You know, a lot of things we thought, you know, a lot of things we think that loves us, you know. We think pain, you know, some of us, we're pain addicted. We love pain. Seems like our life won't go right unless we have some pain into it. But spiritual pain is a good thing that there's a doctor for the spiritual pain we got. You know, we call him Jesus. We can call on Jesus. You don't have a time to stop. You don't have a whole bunch of people we got to wait in line. Jesus can speak to us all if we let him speak to us. When we hear the voice of God, it's so soothing inside our souls. He tells us, I love you. No matter what we're going through, he says, I love you. We say, I can't make it. He says, you can. He says, go on. And we say, I can't go on. You know, we find ourselves constantly fighting against the word and knowing well that the word is the only thing that's going to really cure our pain. The word of God, you know. Sometimes we have to know how to go to the word of God. Go to the elders of the church and ask them, you know, oh, I'm dealing with this situation. That's what's supposed to be our what you call our local clinic, as you can call it. You know, some doctors have, you know, work at a hospital, but they also have their own private practice. And God wants us to, he wants us to seek our remedy for our pain instead of trying to cure it ourselves.
You're absolutely right. I feel like that was a good answer. That's the type of pain that some types of pain people feel like they can't deal with. Sometimes they there's certain pains, such as going through a divorce or going through the unthinkable, or going through certain pains that you wouldn't necessarily see yourself going through. But a lot of the times, the Lord wouldn't push you through things that you couldn't overcome to begin with, and that's the thing that you have to stay focused on if you ever encounter any type of pain. And I feel like, I like how you said the local clinic. The church is a local clinic, and sometimes you can't be of the church. You got to really be in the church for what's in the church. You know, a lot of different churches bring different things, but you just have to realize what you're there for, you know. And you're right, because pain is something that goes untalked about, especially in this world we're living in. It's clearly you see people outside, and you see the snow outside, and you know you see people there with the signs, the veterans, with the homeless people, trying to get a roof over their head, and they going through a whole different type of pain that some couldn't even imagine, you know. And to another person, they may have a different tolerance level when it comes to pain, but it's all still pain. It's just all about knowing how to deal with it and how to take a step back and how to just overcome. So that's what it's about. That's what it's about. So that you said that's how
and
you deal
really
with pain.
And I really agree with that, you know.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so you know, and that's another different subject. You know, a lot of these. Exactly. And T.Y., man, these, that's another subject come up with pain. You know, I see a lot of these young people nowadays, you know. Back in the day when I was growing up, you know, I'm 37 years old, so all my bloggers out there and I'm coming of age, I have seen a lot of, grew up in the church, grew up praising, and I see the old deacons, the mothers, and right before one of them passed, they just, you know, you'll never know they were sick. Some people, you'll never know they smiled the whole time. They could have cancer. They could have diabetes so bad, and they could have chronic heart disease, and have the strength to smile through all the pain. It used to be amazing to me, like, wow, how does this person deal with that? I get a toothache and I'd be crying, Lord, take me now, you know, to those who love God. But the Bible tells us, you know, there's nothing pain, you know. Our pain is nothing compared to what he has for us. You know, Romans 8 and 18, it says, For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us. You know, sometimes, you know, the Lord, he takes us through this pain sometimes just so we can, you know, sometimes he takes us through pain brings us to repentance, you know. Sometimes the Lord has to he gets our attention sometimes, and that's the only way he can reach some of these people. You know, some of these young people out here, they're growing up with no mothers, no fathers, and they're just out here, you know, fending for themselves in the world that's ready to lock them up for the first mistake they ever make. And some of these dudes and young ladies are just throwing their life away. I mean, you know, they just not knowing, stumbling around. I call it stumbling around in the dark. No guidance, no parental guidance. So no parental guidance probably means no spiritual guidance. And without the spiritual guidance, you can do without parental guidance, but do without spiritual guidance, and you're in trouble. There's a lot of people that overcame not having a mother or father in the home or active mother and father. Sometimes they have to rely on that auntie. And sometimes that auntie or that uncle that took them in don't have the spiritual knowledge, so they cannot pass off something and don't know how to take them to Jesus and say, baby, depend on Jesus. You know, we have an old saying going, I can't really get the words out, but my grandma used to always say, trust in the Lord, and he always guides you. Woo!
Always.
And when you learn to trust in the Lord, when you learn to fully trust in the Lord, it's amazing how things we picture don't always happen like that. When the Lord's ready to bless you, it's not going to come in the form just like you want it. It's going to come in some way greater for you. It may not be great, you know, but it's going to be great for you. We may be expecting good things, but God has great things on the other side. You know, good versus great. You give me great all day. I'm Tony the Tiger.
Because he works in mysterious ways. Like you said, I definitely agree with that because he can be working and you not even know it. He can be working at you for a long time and you can be going through circles and circles in life and not realize it, that why haven't you been past a certain point? But really, the Lord could be working on you that whole time. He could be giving you signals. He could be putting you through certain things and you realizing why it's happening to you, but really you probably keep making the same mistakes. And that's how he worked. So, you know, and like you said earlier, that goes right along with pain. You know, the Lord may put you through a little bit of pain just so you can grow and learn from it. I definitely agree with that. Now, let me ask you another question. This is more targeted towards the youth, because I see a lot of misguided youth out here that's not really just in one particular area, just overall. You think what type of pain do you feel like the youth of this world? I'm talking under 21. I'm talking under 21. What type of pain do you think they mostly encounter?
These teenagers today, a lot of them are experiencing. I would say, you know, you have some that's emotional, you know. Emotional pain be the first thing come to mind because, you know, when kids run to drugs instead of running to Jesus, that's a problem within itself because a lot of these children, they grew up seeing their parents do drugs. When they go through something, somebody die in the family, instead of seeing people being prayerful in a circle, it's a lot of times you see a bunch of, I'm going to call it, you know, they want to party, go to drinking and doing all the things, you know, and I'm talking about myself. God include me in that. And sit up here, I got to turn it up for my homeboy. Rest in peace, pouring out liquor we done spend money on. And But see, when God has, you know, prepared you for something, see, God will prepare you for the worst if you let him prepare you, you know?
Right.
When God prepares you, there's nothing you can't go through without Jesus. You may even cry. You may weep, but it's only for, weeping endures only for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
And always.
A lot of these, you know, teenagers, they don't have any. They don't have any guidance. They don't know that the Lord is there. They don't know that joy comes in the morning. All they know is it's over. I might as well go through this. And then they wake up at the point of no return with some meaning the death, the grave, you know, and the prison system, and they can't take back what they did yesterday, and that's the kind of pain, you know. And sometimes even some find Jesus behind bars of love. These young men that's locked up with my uncle, you know, he was wrote a letter, man, and it had me almost in tears. He was saying, man, I never found you. This was the best thing that happened to me, because out there, I'll probably be out there hurting more people. Dude was sentenced to, the judge didn't want to throw him away, but gave him 8 to 15 years. You know, that's a lot of time for an 18-year-old, never experienced anything, never. And the brother asked, you know, man, like, wow, you know, I should have known. I wish I knew Jesus before I did that because I wouldn't have did it. And he said, but, you know, But he's learning the word in there. So evidently, it's a point in life where God placed him where he needed to be. I know it's not saying that, you know, God wanted him to be in prison, but that's how he gets his attention. Once, like I said earlier, he gets our attention through pain. Sometimes he had to cause us. Sometimes we cause ourselves pain. But even though the situation may look bleak, and saying, "Oh, even the judge may be unforgiving," but God say, "Hey, I got you. I'm gonna teach you to be wiser." Hope the young man, you know, stay on the path. He gets to wake up another chance. He may be somewhere in there he can reach through his word.
Right.
You know, you never know who's behind bars. And just like a lot of dudes just like him, lost, never been in a prison before, never been outside of the comfort of their own block, and now they're faced with a bunch of angry men, because, you know, a lot of these men, they're angry, they're hurt. You know, it's pain, once again. The substance of pain comes, you know. Pain, you know, some people, you know, are like narcissists. You know, to be a narcissist, you love to see others' pain, love to, you know, to inflict pain on others. And a lot of people, you know, we're narcissistic to ourselves because we know these things God done told us. Now, don't do it. I'm 37. I'm, you know, being street addicted, I caused a lot of pain on myself. I've seen a lot of pain in these streets, seeing a lot of dudes, you know. And I was a church going, but still, I was still street addicted, though, even though the Lord had my attention. But the streets pretty much had my heart. The Lord done told me these dudes ain't good. And he gave me chance after chance after chance after chance. It took a very long time for me to say, "Oh, this ain't for me. God got something better for me." Just been blind to it. Didn't want to hear what the Lord had to say. So these young people, you know, turn to the Lord. If any one of you out here in this blogger world, turn to Jesus. If you have any drug addiction, Jesus can overcome it. He can help you overcome
Amen.
It. If you're a motherless child, he could be your mother, fatherless child. He could be your father. Somebody who are searching for love, your boyfriend done broke your heart, your girlfriend done left you and did you wrong. So, you know, the best thing you can do is fall on your knees and petition the throne, because
yeah.
he will make it better if you let him.
Before you know it, joy will be there in the morning. And that's when you was talking, you said something about he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know. And that made me think about something. I was in a situation. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, but I remember a time when I had a friend tell me, and I had no idea, but they didn't know God. I had no idea. But when they said it, I was kind of lost. I didn't really know what to say or how to go about it, because it's one of those things to where you don't want to really push it upon a person. No, if they've never knew the Lord, it's how do you begin to open the door? You know, you plant that first seed. You know, that's a task that I felt like at that time I wasn't up to. You know, and what are you doing? You ever been in that type of situation?
Oh yes, I have been in that situation plenty of times. You know, and some with family members who have said, you know, we have had people, you know, family been so down and out, and they just gave up and didn't know Jesus. And when you try to tell them, you know, and they're like, "Oh, you know, woo, 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 woo," because of another family member, say, "You better be careful who you culture, how you culture your cousins. You know, you're around them, you better watch them, because they may be watching you. You may be the only church that they have." And
right.
they don't know. They can't judge anybody. You know, the church, you know, a lot of people say the church, you know, it does live in your heart. It lives in your heart, should be planted. Hide the word. You ask the Lord to hide the word in your heart that I shall not sin against. And once it's in your heart, once you know, see, when you know, not knowingly and knowing, it's two whole different things. And I tell anybody, I'd rather know it. Because even though, you know, you may know it and you do it, but you do it over and over again. And what's best, to treat a drug addict, another former drug addict, is better to treat a drug addict than a non-drug addict, trying to tell him not to do drugs. But a person who's been there and lost their home, done lost everything, done lost the love of their relatives, done lost the love of everybody. Nobody can trust them. They go to the hospital, nobody will visit them because people will give up on them. But God has not gave up on those people. For anybody out there listening, you know, God, you know, he doesn't give up on us. We choose to walk away from God. We choose to not listen. We choose to not listen and dwell in our own pain. And sometimes when you're dwelling in your own pain and you have a blind ear to the Lord, but the Lord still, he shows us. He still shows us his tenderness. He still shows us his love, his mercy, his grace. Every day we wake up, he's showing us his love. He gives us another day to get it right. He gives us another day to help someone else out, you know, that don't know the Lord. And that's our goal as Christians. I mean, that should be our only thing we should live for, to help other people, to make the people who are blind to the Lord, make them see the Lord for the greatness he has for them.
Right.
And
it's been one situation, that realm you're speaking of,
you have seen is,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Hello? Okay, I was saying that realm, like, you made me think when you were saying that, like, it's a, I feel like it's just an umbrella. Like, I feel like your conscience and your spirit knows what's right and what's wrong, and deep down you know when you're stepping outside of that. That umbrella, and the Lord keep you in a certain realm, and I feel like the more and more you get to know him, the more and more he'll talk to you and tell you when you're right and answer those questions you may have, you know, about life. And I feel like a lot of people step out of that realm, and then they ask why, and they want to ask for things. And I learned that when you don't want things, and you learn to just live according to him and just do things the right way, then you would stay in that realm more so than not stay in that realm like you were speaking on it. And that'll keep you more positive than negative. You know, that's a way of dealing with pain. You can just stay within him, like a steadfast within his name. So that's one thing I do.
And I was thinking of the Bible verse. We were just talking about how helping others, and you know, the example I just made, you know, is in Hebrews 2:18. For because he himself has suffered, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And you know, and this one thing experience has taught me about being on these streets and seeing how some of these young people. And I remember I used to be that person that would go sit out of a store just because my friends did it. Thought it was, you know, trying to be too cool. Knew better now. Knew better. It was all fun and games until I got caught. And they had to call my
right.
Oh, man. I'm talking about, I had these big crocodile tears. Lord, please don't call my auntie. You could have whooped me. I even told the man he could whoop me. I know what I had coming. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it wasn't funny then, but now, you know, I can sit back and laugh at that situation because I learned a valuable lesson. Quit doing stuff because other people's doing it. A lot of these people went on to serve Lindsay. You know, you can get addicted to that kind of life, and it becomes you.
Right.
It becomes you. You'll start taking from the people you love just because it's habit. You know, learned behavior is a thing that God can overcome. He can, no matter what we have been taught, the Lord can reverse anything. He can reverse negativeness, spitefulness, hatefulness. You know, all those things I speak of are symptoms of pain. Loneliness, you know, that's an emotional pain that you sit with nobody to talk to. You feel like you don't have anybody. You don't have no one in the world to speak to. You have no one to say I love you. No one to wake up and say good morning to with nobody. You don't have a tender sad, you know, loneliness in your heart. You know, loneliness without Jesus, that's the hardest pain I ever experienced in my life. No matter how many people was around me, I still felt lonely. Because, when you're missing the Lord, you miss him. You know, you're missing everything.
Yeah.
He is everything. You can't pray to your homeboy. You can't pray to Bobo. Bobo was home doing whatever he does. You know, Bobo is doing him. But you go behind them closed doors and the Lord is calling you. The Lord is telling you, come into me. The Lord is telling you, come home. The Lord is telling you, you know, come on, stop this life. Leave the streets alone, you know. And sometimes, you know, he only going to give us so many before he has to bring about, you know, before he has to bring about pain upon us to get our attention, really. A lot of people don't see God until it's sad. Man, 79 years old, went to the hospital. You know, they told him he had terminal cancer. You know, he'd been smoking cigarettes. And he asked for a Bible. And the nurse, you know, was like, she had no Bible. And see, he had no visitors. Now, imagine, you don't know this man's lifestyle. The nurse had no idea that this man's lifestyle was about. He was the old gangster that lives, you know, just live and live and live. And he said, I feel peace with God at this very moment. Open up and learned it. First time he learned it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son for us.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever believes in our everlasting life. And he asked the nurse, you really believe I can have everlasting life? She said, with Jesus, yes, if Jesus said it, then it's possible. He was like, man, I feel at peace. I ain't never felt this peace in all my days. All the gunslinging I done did, all the street things I done, I never knew that peace like this existed. To make a long story short, God, you know, just so happens, his cancer went in remission. And this man, to this day, still serving the Lord. He said, for the rest of my days, me and my house will serve the Lord. And this is going to show you, it's never too late. It's never too late. And it took pain to bring this man to Jesus. It took what the doctor to tell him, threaten his life, to tell him that, you know, I don't know who told him to turn to Jesus, but I guess, you know, he wasn't too stupid. He knew who to turn to. He had nobody, no one to visit. Sometimes the Lord, he'll take some people away from us, and we'll cry. We'll feel lonely. He'll take these people away from us, you know, your homeboys. You know, the homeboy, he'll show you your homeboys and see you all the time, and he'll show you things. He'll start revealing things to you. That's nothing but prophecy that the Lord wants you to walk in him.
Yeah.
And he'll deal with all your problems. You don't have to fight your battles. You know, you don't have to fight, because sometimes when we get the pain, we feel like, oh, we got to fight back. But I say, I will fight your battle. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And I used to be a person, I was hurting so much emotionally, and I never liked to see people see me cry. Never wanted to see. I thought I was so tough. I don't think I want the Lord to see me cry. I'd be crying like this, but toughen it up. Wiping my ass like, toughen it up. Oh, they're looking at you, dry your eyes, you know, because that's the street mentality. You don't seem soft
right
out here, you know, but, we, you know, on the street there's a thing called, you know, you don't let nobody see your tender side because it's weakness. You know, they get a thing
right
to say, show no love, but God say, I am love.
Right.
And when God gets to showing everybody around you that when he takes you from something, he's not taking you from it to go sit down. He's not going to make you look, he's going to show, he gets to show you that he is a potter. He can mold a criminal into a Christian. From criminal to Christian. That's a transformation. Now, that right there is a transformation. But that's a whole 180 because, you know, and he softens us up. You know, a lot of people say, oh, man, you done got soft. You don't want to. I say, but, you know, it's okay after. You know, you have to deal with things. You know, but God will show his glory. Through you, he can show. When your life shines, then Jesus shines. He wants us to be able to be in a living example. He wants us to shine even more. He will give you the desires of your heart, only if we let him. And sometimes, you know, I used to hear that long when I was little. I'm like, yeah. You know, you used to go to church listening. But when I started finding the word for myself, getting a study for my own self, what else in this Bible that I've been not listening to all these years? What else the Lord been telling me? You know, when the Lord gets your attention, he makes you hungry for it. You wake up like, now what did that verse say again? She was talking about yesterday in church. And it'd be on your mind because you'd be like, listen, because God creates that. He'll create that thirst for knowledge. That thirst for knowledge, once he creates that thirst, you're going to want to read. You're going to want to go listen to them seminars that you said was too boring. When the streets told you it was too boring, God, you know, God said, listen here, you might miss something. You be, the person has changed you to the person sitting next to you. Be talking to you, but shh, hold up. He's saying something, you know.
Right.
And that's the change,
right.
You know, I want to see for these young folks, you know. They hurting out here, man. You know, I can see these young people. I was in the gas station the other night, dude, you know. Had to be like 16, 17, you know, and it's like a mirror I'm looking into. Had his pants, well, you know, pants hanging off. I didn't want to do that one, you know, but pants hanging off of him. And he was being disrespectful, a bunch of older women, and he was just in there like he didn't care. Then I remember a time when I did the same thing, and I couldn't really, I thought, about, oh, man, look at him. He's some shit. Then I had to look at, you was like this.
Right. So
and, you know,
sometimes
these dudes, you can't say that to them. You cut it to them, they want us, you know, confrontation to ensue. So I walked out and said, man, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this situation. I don't know what he was going to do because, you know, he had a little pistol on the side. You know, I really wasn't going to say nothing to him, you know, because of the drugs out here. I don't know what they're doing out here. You know, it's just, this is a loss. You know, some of these are lost. More of these young dudes are believing in their religion seems to be the radio. It seems to be what these rappers say, and it needs to be a change out here. Us Christians, we got to work harder to get this lost generation, because 10 years from now, I don't want these 5-year-olds to be doing the same thing these 15-year-olds doing now. So we have to, time is now for change, to ease some of this pain, brother.
I agree. I feel like I agree with everything you just said, and it's one of those things that you say hungry, it keep you hungry. Like when the Lord gets your attention, you hungry for it, and you just want to know where you're at and how to get more of it, and how to answer these questions that we all be having. And that's 100% right. I feel the same exact way. And in what you said, like nowadays the kids that be lost, ain't no telling what then drove that person to be the way they are, or what they own, what kind of drug they may be on to make them act the way they be acting, or to, you know, what role models that drove them to do the things that they do on a daily basis. And nowadays, honestly, it really is hard to talk to people out in public. Like the world kind of drive you towards each other to where we are kind of like enemies. But really, if you walk outside and see somebody you've never seen before ever in life, the first initial reaction will be to stay away. You know, that's just the way of the world, and to keep short and quick, to keep it moving. Well, really, that person may need some of the words you have to say, and they may need some guidance. They may need them to get, like you said, the Lord may be in you at the moment. The Lord may be shining in you, and they may need to hear what you got to say, you know. But sometimes it's hard, you know, because you never know what you're going to encounter. And really, that's just the world have us living in fear. You know, the world have us living in amongst the government, have us living according to another person. So, and I feel like the more and more you get into that Bible, the more and more you get out the maze. I feel like this world ain't nothing but a maze. And the only answer is the Lord. He's the only finish line, you know. So, and I feel like everything you're saying, especially with the music, a lot of people, the majority of the world, they brainwash. They brainwash, especially by the music. They hear what they hear a subliminal message. They hear certain messages, and they look up to a certain person. And really, at the end of the day, what the person's saying isn't even really that person. That's what they're saying because they're making money off saying it. They creating an image that really isn't them, and which is causing the general public to try to portray what they're trying to, the image they present. And they end up being something that they're not. And they wind up in pain, you know. They end up trying syrup. They end up trying this, trying that, you know, just because they've seen somebody on TV do it. And really that TV only air 1 hour a day, and then that person go back to a whole different lifestyle. So, like what you said, that's just, that's crazy. I feel like the world got many obstacles, and they try to put you in a position of pain. Like everybody that been through amounts of pain, not everybody that been through the same amount of pain, but everybody experienced pain. But it's just how you deal with it. Like it just come and go, and it's one of those things you got to avoid what the world trying to throw at you, because there's a lot of ways to fall into pain. But I feel like the only way to really smile and be joyful and really, really keep that smile alive is through that word. So, and that's basically everything you're saying. I'm going right along with it. I agree with that.
Well, thank you. And I was wanting to bring up another point about, you know how like another pain. You know, a lot of teenagers I knew these days had a chance to, you know, had a person to work at the funeral. A friend of mine who works at the funeral home, and he sees all kind of things at the funeral home, you know, doing funerals, and with the saved, you know, he sees saved people dying, and then he sees the worldly dying. He's saying this is a different kind of grief. Because he says, you know, some young people turn to drugs after losing somebody because they don't know that Jesus saves. They don't know that Jesus is their rock. Jesus is our salvation. Without knowing that, you know, it's hard to safely manage your pain without Jesus.
Yeah.
And I have learned that the hard way myself, man. You know, done a lot of self-inflicted, you know, things because I wanted to be hard-headed to the word, not listen to what I'm listening to. I'm just going to church just because I felt like I was just being made to go. And then I was like, oh, well, you know. But when you find Jesus for yourself, can't nobody take that away from you. can't nobody find Jesus. When you start studying that word for yourself, when you get more into the word and when you start learning that Jesus loves you, when it's okay and it's only, you know, it's only, everything's only happened for a season. People come into your life and they go. Some people come in to just simply to make you worship. Some people come in just to use you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just come in just for no reason at all, just because they want to do it. And sometimes those are people that we need to, some people come for you to help them, and God wants you to help them. Some people come in just to, you know, some people come in to teach you something. You know, I had a person going to the, you know, recently this year just started going to the community center. Went over there to inquire about, you know, I heard they had a weight room and swimming pools and all that. I was inquiring about it, and the dude said, yeah, man, you definitely need it. And I look back, like, who are we talking to? You know, the dude kind of older. He said, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. You got some extra pounds, brother. You're in the right place. I'm like, man, ain't nobody, you know, with that young man, you know, forgive me. I'm like, man, ain't nobody talking to you. Then I thought about, you know, and conversating with him, that's a man of God. You know, you conversating with him, and he said, the Lord wants you to lose that weight because God got great things for you. And when he said that to me, I was feeling like my words. Man, I just came in to check about the gym. I ain't coming for all that, man. You know, and the more I get in the walk and I see him over every day, he was always consistent. He'd say, good morning, praise the Lord. That's the first thing he'll say to me when I walk in. I'm like, hey, praise the Lord. And he had me saying praise the Lord after a while because it became a habit because then we begin to walk. And this dude, you know, was telling me all the things when one day he just opened up and got to saying that I was complaining about my hip and back. He got to telling me about how many times he'd been shot, how many times he'd been almost been on death's bed, and I was like, wow. And he has joy like nothing is going on with him. He's going through dialysis. I'm like, whoa, he don't even look like it's like he's going through, like he died better. He's in, look great. I mean, he looked great to me. And I'm like, wow, you know, God is really shining. And I can see his shine. I can see the Lord, all, you know, whatever he's going through. And he just recently just got out of the hospital. You know, I just one of the other dudes from, up to going Monday, and I talked to him. He said, yeah, he's been in the hospital. I haven't seen him in a week. And he was like, he'd be back bragging about how many laps you done walked. You know, this dude walked 4 or 5 miles a day.
Wow.
And I'm glad to have met this older gentleman because it makes me know that there are people out here. There are men. You know, a lot of times you go to church and you see 80%, maybe 80 to 20%, 80% females, 20% males. And some 90 to 10%, that ratio is embarrassing for us males because we're the head of the household. And there's a lot of households out here that don't have Jesus. You know, the woman have to take the men's place. Now this society is going back in reverse. And it's a shame. You know, a lot of the men, you know, we're not taking our young nieces, nephews up on our wings, spending this time with them, teaching about the Lord. Every chance you get, you should speak about the Lord. Put the word of God in them. Because if we don't, we're going to experience if you think it's bad now, we're going to experience a way, you know, we're going to run out of Christians because they are the future. Whether we want to look at it, whether we want to accept it, these young people are our lost generation. And we need to pick these people up, try to encourage them to try to lower because their way, you know, their way of doing things is going to lead to death and destruction.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't know. You're going through pain already, but you think pain never ends. Untreated pain will continue on. It can start off physically, then become emotionally, then become spiritually. And
you're right.
Pain management, you know, a lot of doctors tell you know, they have their way of doing it. But when God fixes you from something, you are truly indeed healed. When God heals you, you are truly indeed healed. When he takes away a certain habit that we've been trying for unsuccessfully without the Lord. You try so unsuccessfully without the Lord to try to quit smoking, but when you got with the Lord helps you stop in 6 months. You should praise God. Anybody on this line that has a smoking addiction, seek God. Anybody have a drug addiction? I tell you to seek the Lord today. Anybody have any other addiction that's unhealthy to your spiritual being? Seek the Lord, and he will guide you through this. And I do have one question for you. Now, you know, since you're a generation of, since you're a part of the younger generation, how does it feel knowing that you are safe in the Lord's arms versus the world's arms?
And honestly, that's one of those feelings that more and more I feel safer every day, because the more and more I read into the Word, I'll be reading songs. I want to read all of them. I think I'm close to 50. I'm in the middle of songs. I'll just wake up, or before I leave, I make sure I read or take something with me. You know, and when you take something with you, and that's, I feel like that's the Lord in me for, you know, for that time frame. Because a lot of times, you may forget what the Lord is saying. You know, you have to, the more you stay in that Bible so you can be reminded that no matter that where you go, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You know, you are with the Lord no matter where you're at. I always pray and keep my family in prayer, and I always ask the Lord to keep me and my family in the Lord's hand, you know. And that's something that, especially in this generation, it's just, honestly, it's a lot of lost people. I mean, it's a lot of recklessness, you know. That's probably the best word for it, because I honestly feel like the people, it's kind of nice. I think it's a mindset, and I feel like age, I know 30-year-olds who act like 70-year-olds. I know 25-year-olds who act like 14-year-olds, you know. So it's that whole, I would say from 25 to 15, that gap is just, honestly really is lost. Like they priorities in life is to make sure they work, and they make so much X amount of money, and they go to the bar. They want to just go to the bar, or they want to go to the next big event, or they want to just go to the mall, or just do the things that really don't matter, you know. Because honestly, none of that stuff is irrelevant, you know. And I personally feel safe because I make sure that I keep my fulfill my spirit with the word. But I couldn't always say that, you know. I couldn't always say that. I feel like I didn't even, like, I've always had a foundation with the Lord, but I didn't read the Bible as much as I do now. You know, I didn't make sure I took a word with me and carry it on throughout my day. But now that I do that, yeah, I feel even more safe than I ever been, you know. I know I've been in positions and situations to where you feel like no matter what, you know, you got the Lord with you. So it really don't matter, you know, because if you really, at the end of the day, you're not even supposed to be afraid of the outcome, because you know the Lord already has the outcome for you. You know, the outcome has already been planned, and it's already been destined. And when you keep that mind state, you know that you're going to be okay. So I know that no matter where the Lord put me, that's what it was meant to be. So that's what keeps me intact, you know. I keep a positive mindset, and I stay away from negative people, you know. And that's another thing to keep me safe in the world, in this world, but really in the Lord's hand. It's really this the world to me is just so. The more and more I feel like every day, I feel like I'm echoing, but every day I feel like the world is just more and more of a delusion. I feel like they try to brainwash people every day more and more. And so I feel like we're getting closer to the end of times, and we definitely got to stay in that Bible, and that's what keeps me safe. That's what I would say.
Oh, yeah, since you're speaking on Psalms, came across a verse that Psalms 147:3, that he heals the broken heart and binds up their wounds. And when I was speaking of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, earlier in the conversation, I was telling about how some people don't know how to have people go through things, and you know, there's no feeling like heartbreak. Heartbreak is one of the most devastating pains that some people would never ever was able to come through heartbreak. You need the Lord for pain such as that, because heartbreak, you know, can lead people. Some people even try to, you know, end their life and all those things. You know, sometimes when the devil gets busy, when he gets busy, and he preys on the weak, he doesn't want them to come to Jesus. And when it seems hard, anybody out there, when it seems hard to change, and when it seems hard to serve the Lord through the pain, continue on, because greater things are to come. That's only let you know that the devil really, you got something that the devil don't want nobody to have. He got a story that the devil don't want you to share. And the devil has kept, you know, has, so he said, you know, a lot of, he don't want us to share our experience with other people because he might help somebody. No matter what we've been through, no matter what we're going to go through, it's always going to be a way out if you choose the Lord. It may not be the, be the way we want it to happen. It may not be the way when it wanted to happen. But when it happened, it would make perfect sense to you. It'd be like a new feeling happening to you. When the Lord comes to your heart and he speaks things into your spirit, says you don't do that no more. That's not harmful to you. Sometimes the Lord will tell us, and we know it, that'd be the Lord telling you, stop it. And before we go, I know his time is winding down.
We have 5 minutes.
For anybody who out there dealing with pain today, I like to say we're going to look at Revelations 21, 4, and 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither should there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Coming to tell you, folks, pain doesn't have to last. Pain is only temporarily. Pain sometimes is a, sometimes we have to go through pain to get to our glory. And saying that, you know, and I went through a lot of pain in my life. Emotional pain, even physical pain, where I thought that, oh, Lord, this must be it. This is the end of my days. See, the devil didn't want me to tell y'all this story. He didn't want me to share my story with nobody. He wanted me to keep up. He wanted me to be the same old Nakia Smith. He wanted Nakia Smith to stay in the box and never be heard from again. He didn't want Nakia Smith to do it. He didn't want Nakia Smith to prosper. He wanted Nakia Smith to be happy with things of the street. And thank God for your grace and mercy, Lord. Thank you for
it. Amen.
Thanks for understanding. Thanks for being patient with me, Lord. You know, thank you for family and friends. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the people who speak life into my spirit today, Lord. Thank you for the people who just really helped me with this spiritual that's happening. See, out of all the pain, God gave me the pain just so I can go through this, just so I can know, so I can stand here today and tell you that I am a work in progress. A lot of things, you know, me and the Lord is working on, and he's going to take these things away from me one day. There's a lot of times I'm not going to be able to speak the things I spoke last year because God doesn't want me to go back there. He wants me to stay in the present. And that's what sometimes we got to do today.
And confessing it.
And it's been a very wonderful time talking to everyone. And Chris, before I go, you have any last statements to say?
What's that?
I say, before we go off the broadcast, Chris, you got any insights?
Oh, yeah. When you were talking about, you gave me, when you did a scripture, I just opened my Bible, and the first thing I seen, I was open right to Proverbs. I didn't even plan this. Proverbs 4 and 4, and 4:4 and 4:5, it say, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And that's just deep to me. That's what it's about. That's life in a nutshell. The Lord wants you to follow his commandments. He wants you to live. He wants you to get understanding and wisdom out of this life we live in. And that's how you deal with pain. That really is how you deal with pain. And I just opened that up in the Bible because you said a scripture, and I just opened the Bible up, and that's right where it put me. And I honestly, I see the growth in you. Because confessing, when you confess, the Lord bless you. Because especially when you confess from your heart, majority of the world can't confess. A lot of people lie and they do the things they do because they can't admit when they're wrong. They can't confess when something's wrong. They can't confess when pain is upon them, you know. And confessing it is when you really got your blessings coming, because the first step is confessing. And when you learn to confess, the Bible speaks about it all the time. When you learn to confess, in which you already do it all the time, when you confess, then things, it's always brighter on the other side, because you're already a step ahead. That's what I'm saying, basically. And that's what it's about. So, and we're going to end up doing this a lot more. This series was Dealing with Pain. We got Tyrell Hatcher and Nakia Smith. You got anything you want to close with before I play the outro music?
No, just thankful for this opportunity to discuss. You know, we was going to do this on comedy, called Laugh at Comedy at first, but I came up with you. I did pain because I see so much pain out here in these streets. Look at my window, I see pain. And pain is relevant, you know, pain is very relevant to your walk. You know, you're going to experience some pain. And our walk of God, it's not going to be a perfect walk. Yes, we're going to have our ups and downs, but the Lord is going to keep us through it all. That's the point I want to teach out here to these young viewers, to the people, you know, to anybody who have experienced pain and don't know how to manage their pain through Jesus. Because he is the problem solver. We don't have to run to these outside sources. All we have to do is rely on God, and he will take us through our pain. Next thing is not like to do after the pain. What are we going to do after the pain?
Man, what are we going to do after the pain? That's the way, I like that. That's a good way thing to close on. What are we going to do after the pain? After you deal with the pain, what's next? So we can pick up on that. We probably can pick up on that next time.
Yep.
After the pain.
Sure can, brother.
And so, Jeremy first.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
Tyrell Hatcher, Nakia Smith. Catch you next time. Block Talk Radio.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all, see God right the end, before the story began. He told me to tell you the best. As the author of your faith, He wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen
your best days.